Welcome again. Just to make sure you're in the right plane, this is the workshop on transformative communities of practice. George and I have had several conversations about what would be the takeaway, the learning outcomes for such a gathering. And once again, we found at lunch, just now, the sense that, it depends on who comes. So now we see who is here, but something else has to happen to make a connection between the curiosity, the agenda, the challenges, the need that you have come with, and what George and I might offer. George has spent many, many years around the topic and practice of communities of practice, both within organizations and not. And I've spent many years around the topic and practice of transformative learning communities. So in transformative communities of practice, our mutual interests come together and our complementary knowledge bases come together. But the question is, what do you care about for this next 3 hours? It's actually 3 hours. There's a little confusion in the program. So we intend to go for 3 hours. We'll take a break in about 90 minutes and you will vote with your feet one way or the other, and that'll be okay. By the time we get to the beginning of that break in about 90 minutes, we will have a better idea of what's going to happen in the second 90 minutes. Right now, we don't have that much of an idea of what will happen. So, there's a phrase in English which is in over our heads. In over our heads. In fact, Robert Keegan, in one of his earlier books, gave the book this title, In Over Our Heads. So, if we pause a bit in terms of the generally ebullient state of arriving at a conference, seeing friends, and just pause in that and be reminded of how often individually, we ourselves or in our work with others, note the experience of overwhelm, being in over our heads. And the same could be said collectively within organizations we work in as well as organizations we work with. The experience of overwhelm. And so what George and I are interested in is a particular way of learning together, a particular way of practicing together, and referring to that as transformative communities of practice. A lot more specifics to come, many distinctions that would be helpful, but we want to be sure that where we go in this very limited time is attuned to where most of you are and what is alive this afternoon. So before we have you break up in triads, let's see how George wants to tee us.
Thank you, Eftad, for this introduction. And the only thing that I would add to what Aftab said in these early introductory remarks is what you came with is the richness of our ad hoc community. That's what will define where we go. And to help you give away your gift, I suggest that in the triads, you reflect on the question, what is the deepest curiosity you have about yourself when you decide to come to a workshop about transformative communities of practice? What is the link between whatever you know about this workshop or the workshop facilitators and your deepest curiosity about yourself? So when you go into your triad, before you speak, before even greet each other, spend a minute or so just to hold this question in your contemplation, not thinking about it that much, just hold it in the back of your mind and relax into it to see what comes up when you inquire into my deepest curiosity about myself when I came here.
So we'll take a total of 10 minutes in the triads, and if you could pace yourselves so each person gets a turn. Once the buzz starts in this room, it'll be hard to get everybody's attention. So if you could time, if the triads could time themselves, we'll have about 3 minutes each. And we can begin now. We can begin the triads now.
So now I am becoming curiouser and curiouser. Not only the specific curiosities that you brought, but in this moment, my attention goes to the question, what did you learn from this process, with being with two fellow allies of evolution, going into some possibly deep, sometimes may even intimate stories about oneself, and what did you learn, not about the specifics of what you heard, but what insight emerged in you about this whole process of interacting like this with each other, sharing deep curiosities. So if anybody wants to speak.
It's joyful.
Let us speak. Another?
I can take it. Yeah, I was happy to share, to be given the possibility to reflect upon why I was here. And then to be helped in this triad to actually formulate that, because then it became clear to myself. And I was fortunate that there were resonances in the little group we had here, which somehow made me happy. I don't know why, but because, So just happy to be able to express and to be helped by them. By the little conversation in the group.
Was it easier or was it more difficult to get in touch with your curiosity about yourself in the company of two other persons versus just by reflecting on it alone?
So the curiosity, became alive. I became aware of my curiosity because of the conversation in the group. If I had sat alone with the question, I would just have mentalized something. But it became alive because I was looking for a way that it resonated with the other two, and somehow, So it brought me forth in a different way than if I had sat alone with it.
Yeah, there were significant differences among us, and yet there was a resonance and there was a synergy of the differences somehow. The differences didn't separate us. They allowed us to support one another. We're just getting started on that.
Yeah, but differences, I realized that we share common point of interest, and it helps me, the feedbacks and knowing all the other persons helps me to telling me, okay, I'm not exactly at the same point and I'm a little bit different. I don't know exactly why, but or it can help me to precise how, where I am here and now and today.
So now shifting the question into a more content question. Could we have a few people from the triad, one person from a triad, convey what curiosity, where there's a convergence of curiosity around the topic that has brought you here? Ale.
I think we converge on some distinctions that were useful and actually alive in us. One is the distinction between virtual and local communities of practice, and especially that many of us were in virtual ones, but longing for some local ones. And what is the difference between the two? And the second one is, is a community of practice just to challenge me personally or to challenge us as a collective? So that came clear as we were beginning to get going.
The positives and negatives of groupthink. And it did come up in our group that they're definitely positives. We are wanting the group, we're wanting to sound the same sound, or as Doshin says, we want to be with birds of the same feather, but the dangers of that, because it closes us in again. So there's no answer, but it was an inquiry that was starting when we started.
So something that came out of our triad was an interest in living in community, not just communities of practice or transformative community, but actually living in community. In three different countries.
I just want to add one thing that links the two distinctions that I evoked, is that a local community of practice would be much more interested and interesting to challenge the we, not just the I, because the we is at stake locally.
Someone here?
One thing that came up in our triad, and I brought it up, and I felt it it kind of killed a buzz that was some curiosity that was really budding, and I apologize for that. And that might be my projection, but the question is, what kind of transformation? Are we talking about transformation, structural transformation of altitudes of consciousness? Or are we talking about state transformation, what Wilbur calls vantage points of a sense of self that is reoriented in a different realm? And this seems like a real fundamental question that needs addressed before I feel comfortable that we're talking about whole transformation, which is what interests me.
So your question really inspired to start addressing why we convened this workshop with the title Transformative Communities of Practice and Evolutionary Force. So it's not transformational, but transformative. And maybe I can start with this, shedding some light on the meaning, my meaning of the difference between transformation and transformative, that everything that is causing a state change is transformational. Everything that is causing the development of a new skill is transformational. I and we retain the adjective transformative for vertical development, for stage changes, and not only in oneself, but like transformative is a quality of being that is has an impact on its environment. So whoever is a transformative agent, that person is not only in the business of his or her own intentional development on the journey of ever broadening, widening worldviews and consciousness, but also in the business of helping the transformation of anybody whose life is touched by him or her. So maybe something about the distinction of communities of practice also can be useful, because I think that we all have a sense of what communities of practice are. And it's a kind of intuitive sense, and we tend to, I heard it frequently using in a very loose way, applying it to any group with a shared interest. Nowadays calls itself a community of practice. And it has a very well articulated body of knowledge outlined first by Etienne Wenger in the 90s. And so I've been working with Etienne and working a lot with traditional communities of practice. And I grew dissatisfied with my work. It didn't take me where I wanted to go with personal, organizational, and social evolution, because you know, in the 1990s, when I introduced communities of practice strategies and designing, facilitating communities of practice, so when I sold the idea to management, I sold it with the benefits that the orange meme can very well understand and embrace, that it's about developing corporate competences. Communities of practice are stewards of corporate competences. I didn't lie, because it's true, and that was what the practice of communities of practice was about, a new way of knowledge management, basically beyond the technocratic knowledge management, more people-centered knowledge management. But I always felt that there is really more to it than that. And so this is really my personal story, because I felt divided. My spiritual side that wanted to evolve, and also my social commitment I didn't find I can realize with in the context of traditional communities of practice. So it's just recently in the last 2-3 years when it started articulating in my awareness what can be more and what is needed beyond what is traditional. And I realized that, well, what is needed, we need to bring consciousness and intentional work on consciousness as one of the domains of practice, to bring that to communities of practice. That will be a new kind of community. And that's how the idea of transformative communities of practice came into being. And then Aftab gave me a chance when he invited me to join the faculty of Meridian, and we started a course on transformative communities of practice. And it was interesting for me to start a course about something that I believed and still believe that it doesn't exist yet. But so it was kind of courageous, or if not arrogant, to start talking about what it can be. And that was a very rich experience for both of us, and because it was very well received, so the course became a mini prototype for a transformative community of practice, and that inspired me that it's okay to start talking about it, even if we don't have a lot of stories to share of how does it work and what are all the details. So what I can do is to share a couple of distinctions that became clear in the last couple of months. What I know, what we know so far about what characterizes a transformative community of practice, and then when you heard from both of us, then I would like to ask you, even already now, as you are listening to what we are going to share with you, hold in the back of your mind the question, what you really need to know in order to decide, get a sense whether this kind of community would be the right place for you. Because we don't have a lecture to give about it. We have a conversation to facilitate in which your questions can evoke things that we never thought of. And that's how new knowledge is unfolding in the company of seekers, people who are looking for answers to essential questions. So I hope that you will gift us with your questions. So I already started going into what differentiates transformative communities from traditional communities. What is common type of communities of practice wish domain or domains of practice. So traditional communities of practice have a shared domain. And transformative communities of practice have the same and an additional domain that I refer to as the practice of vertical development. as a domain of practice, as a domain of shared practice. Why community members need each other. You remember when I asked the question whether it's with others, I think that the answer that I got would probably, I didn't make a polling, but I guess that it's the experience of in the supportive company of others, it's easier to get in touch with based on evolutionary.
Before we go there, George, I'm thinking that it might be good to do a simulation, that we are at risk of aboutism, meaning we are talking about the phenomenon before the phenomenon has sufficiently formed amongst us in the field itself. So would that be okay? Yeah. And then as we see some of the dynamics that are become evident, then we'll be speaking about what is here. So I know there are several people here who work with organizations and who don't just work with organizations, they work developmentally with organizations. So that's a domain of practice, doing developmental work with organizations. My request is that you volunteer for the simulation. If you don't volunteer, I will identify you. About 3 minimum, but 4 or 5 would be better. Yeah? And then if so, please just pull your chair in, and so then we'll have an inner circle. Okay, 5 would be better. Thank you, Elaine. Okay, good. Annette? Okay, well, if we're getting bigger, then Marcos, we need you too. Okay. So here are our colleagues who work in a particular domain. Right now, we're actually quite generally framing it as working developmentally with organizations. So let's begin with current challenges, current practice, current challenges in your practice. Just very briefly, about 30 seconds each, current challenges in your practice.
Bringing the young and the old together, I shouldn't say old, a more practiced together. All right.
If you talk into it like that.
Thank you. So bringing the young professionals and the more experienced professionals together, having the conversations that truly matter, bringing them together, especially I have no issues with the younger professionals, but the older ones or more experienced ones are not quite willing because they think the young ones want to have it all. And yes, they should have it all. Next.
Challenges, is that the question? So the challenges that I see are when polarization occurs between opposites. That polarization can be such an opening to evolution or awakening, either one or both. So creating a container that's big enough that it can handle the polarization without antagonism, which is not always possible. But turning the polarization into transformation, allowing it to transform the whole, is the most difficult problem that I have faced, including the blind spots.
Increasing lack of resources causing a stress and a strain in the system, so that leadership is becoming less evolved than they may have been some time ago, and reach for an earlier version of leadership, which is not transformative. It's caging in the energies that want to transform.
It's building a developmental system where the transformative forces are fighting focus, get replenished, recruit new forces, and somehow find livelihood, all in a natural, balanced way.
Bridging the gap between what senior leaders say they want their organization to be and their ability to model it, to at least initiate some changes in themselves, that will point the way.
Yet somehow mostly said the biggest pains here. Yeah, so what I see is the how to hire better. Okay, nice. So how to bridge the differences between the ones who are like are in the transformation and the ones who think they are already there. Yeah. Yeah, because it's in the end it's all about that the people are experiencing it, you know, by themselves. And in a leadership I observe a lot of, let's say, the analytical brain is very active and thinks it gets it, but as long as you not feel it, it's not getting there. And then you just come to moments where people complaining, the whole transformation doesn't work for me, you know. But I just observe that because the environment is not ready for that, to, you know, that the transformation can really live and prosper. Yeah, that's the biggest challenge for me.
It's a leadership issue by being stuck to the old and reframing, analyzing the old with the new words and having the illusion that it is the new. And also the procrastination in general.
I already said my, yes. Which is pretty well the same thing.
Just the skip there.
So thank you and please stay. So this was a domain-specific conversation, yes? Or at least compared to the conversation we hope to shift into. The domain is working with organizations developmentally. We could also say this was a professional conversation or a conversation amongst professionals. This is familiar to us. In that sense, we've had likely experience with communities of practice in various contexts. Even a conference is a brief experience of a community of practice. So what George and I are working on, and we are in the early phases of it, what would it mean to go to the next stage of communities of practice and have the community of practice not only engage in domain-specific inquiry, but also domain-general inquiry. Some of the comments that were made pointed to issues that are domain-general. Is this distinction clear enough for us? Because it's critical for us to proceed to the next phase of the simulation, the distinction between domain specific and domain general. Clear enough for now. Hopefully it'll get even clearer. So now, you did as a simulation, you did just fine as a community of practice, let's say, okay? But now we want to go to another level, which will require more of you, and it will require bringing in more of the personal. Right, so you spoke about current challenges, and in this next round, could you reach inside and within the constraints of this still forming field that we're in, speak as personally as you can about how you're personally challenged by the developmental requirements of the work you're doing. Personally challenged, so well beyond the travel is too much, that kind of, right? That your own development is being challenged by the developmental requirements of your work, your mission. So, Elaine, you were smiling, and so
I think not yet. Have a candidate that.
Okay. Okay, I'll turn it over to reckless Catalin.
Right. I always have lots of stories to tell. This is definitely a personal story. We set up a solar manufacturing company in Nova Scotia, Canada, 38 years ago. We were the laughingstock of the country, if not the universe, at that time. So the company is still existing only now after, 40 years? My husband has been inducted to this, Science Hall of Fame. But just 1 minute I have? Right, thank you. So 1 minute. All right. Now I have my sons working in the company, or they were working just even a year ago. But young people, young professionals, and the old folks, the CEOs and the managers and the leadership is not quite willing to make those personal changes. Therefore, I'm definitely personally and professionally challenged by seeing my husband and my children and my sons left the company, setting up their own. And that's not working either, because why can't we work together? So do you want to be more specific? Yeah. So. Thank you.
My personal challenge is to, especially acting as both as an individual coach but also a team coach, is to model. Individual coaching is not so difficult in a way, but actually model that also doing in the team itself. So moving from the individual to the collective is my challenge at this time, at least in the context of that company I'm thinking of right now. My personal role in that team.
I see I moved myself into a stretch. I left the network which was nourishing me well in Brussels inside a very complex organization. I moved 1,000 kilometers away to find out that network was not reaching as far. Started a complete new way of life on the countryside. Have married a new wife who has her demands on me, and starting the professional livelihood from there was a big challenge. It's less of a challenge now, but now I feel like I'm spread out in many projects all over the globe, and I wonder how can I bring this more together so I feel like that I can live, not only work.
My personal challenge has been a challenge of capacity, of having had a dream and a cognitive construct that required energy, both in terms of finances and physical energy and time energy, to build a integral medical primary care practice, and coming straight up to the realization that I ran out of capacity. So wanting to swim the channel and halfway through recognizing there is no more energy, and then letting go.
My work is both with business community and with spiritual communities. And I've encountered very different practical limitations of myself in both areas. In the business community, I practice consulting called the Collaborative Way, which focuses on listening generously, speaking straight, honoring commitments, being for each other, and acknowledgement and appreciation. I found that myself, I could speak very straight, but I didn't have the ability to listen very generously. So that was a big teaching for me, that in order to do that work, I had to stop talking as much and listen more deeply. Kind of embarrassing for a Zen master. In the spiritual communities, I'm a Rinzai Zen teacher. A strong container is essential. There's only one rule: follow the form. No leaks in the container. Somehow, I discovered that I had confused a strong container with a nurturing community. And I personally had to really learn a lot about allowing the space for a nurturing community. It requires both a strong container and a nurturing community. And once I realized that, things have been going much better. I got out of the way. So those are the learnings that I've had on both fronts, the business and the spiritual environments.
My challenge is how to give life after such a wonderful harvesting when we do methods of participatory design or art of hosting in community level. It ends, we have this wonderful harvesting and the wonderful outcomes, and then you know what happens? 90% of them, they disappear. So you know how to make it happen a reality, to have a positive social impact. Thank you.
Thank you, intrepid, brave, transformative learners. I have an observation about this last round. So this is what really starts happening in a transformative community of practice, that we address questions beyond the professional, and there are many ways that you can go deeper with that. So this was just a brief simulation, but in real life, when you are in a transformative community with a question like this, you may want to engage with one more question that can take you deeper, which is what you just said. Ask yourself, why is that important to me? And when you share that also, why is that important? Why is that really important to me? Not to my professional self, but to me as a human being, then you are getting into the entryway to discover evolutionary friendship.
So let's, following George's suggestion, would you be willing to do one more round? And you spoke to a current challenge professionally, and you spoke to how the professional challenge was personally challenging. And this third round would be about what most deeply matters, why you're in the game anyway, why it's so much more than any game. What's most at stake for you? And to hear your relationship to your professional engagement from that place. You could say, now we step into the temple. Dorshin, you would be a good place, please.
So what matters most? This is a very deep Zen koan. The way that I ask the question is, what is the most important thing? To a Zen master, the most important thing is to become one with emptiness. It's to put the evolution of my consciousness to the highest possible level that has the most profound impact on the living whole.
The most important for me would be peace of mind about the evolutionary process of the company, the people involved in it, my own involvement. So, yeah, peace of mind, I think that's the most important. So accepting as it is and allowing the process to unfold with the young generation, transforming slowly, but definitely surely towards health, wealth, and fulfillment for the future generations to come.
For me, the most important is balance and authenticity, plus what the previous participant said, of course.
My why is I want to contribute that this planet is becoming one conscious organism.
What matters to me most is, at this stage, inclusivity. As I move from a professional environment to a larger community environment like a city, how am I inclusive enough myself so that I create conditions for inclusivity?
I will be in another room over there just after the break in a few minutes. And one of my most loved practices is evolutionary constellation work, which is practicing emptiness of mind so that life meets more life in a representative process. So what really matters is to have that principle working in my own life. Well, I love helping others, but to find that at every moment. Just another version of Zen.
And I'm a medical practitioner, and what's at heart for me is healing. And in the greater context, what I would love to participate in is in the healing of the system so that the system can serve and that there aren't patients as well as healthcare providers, as well as the system, who suffer as greatly as we are today.
Thank you all. Please stay. So there's a sense of a shift in the field among us by the shifts, through the shifts in conversation. Typically, our lives are organized so that there is a node of personal life, family, a few intimate friends, usually at best, 500 on Facebook, but otherwise less and less is what it looks like. So we have that personal node, then we have a node of professional colleagues where we can be relatively candid about what the challenges are, and the ones that really keep us up are the developmental challenges. And then we have a third node, likely true for most of us, where our spiritual practice or transformative practice or evolutionary practices are. And so the idea here is, when these three nodes are brought together into a nexus, that's an evolutionary nexus. Then we can tap into evolutionary force, or it taps us, or it taps into us, and that what forms among us is a next stage friendship, you could say. It's not just a friendly professional relationship or a personal friendship. It becomes an evolutionary friendship when those three nodes overlap in a coherent way. It would be useful now to see what observations and reflections our volunteers have, and then also see what observations and reflections that are coming through in the larger circle. And then there's a whole bunch of you could say conceptual distinctions that can mark the landscape we're going into, what we know so far about going from communities of practice to transformative communities of practice, and where the edges are, what we collectively need to learn more about this emerging form. So could we go now to hear any observations and reflections from you? George, unless you want to go, you have some now?
Just a very brief. So I felt very touched by your depth of sharing and the wisdom and commitment to your own evolution as it reflected in your sharing what you said. And so I wished to be part of that circle. I mean, not only for the simulation, but when I am lucky enough to have a couple of spiritual friends to work with, play with, or evolutionary friends, what happens is what your experience evoked in me right now. And that was listening to you in this last round give rise in me to the desire to support you in what is important to you. Because it's the same what is important to me. And I would even say that it's not only what is important to you and to me, but is what is really important to our beloved evolution. And so that's how my evolutionary friendships started, with the desire to, it's just recognizing that your well-being and your evolution is not distinct from mine. It's the same, because in a sense we are one organism. And when we recognize that, then evolution and friendship is not a concept, it's a felt experience. And it doesn't come from an altruistic desire. It's not about, I want to help you. It's more that I'm longing for the awakening of the field itself. Some people are talking about it as the collective Buddha. Well, think of transformative communities of practice as a code word for the journey towards that stage of collective being.
Thank you, Marcos. Thank you. So we are approaching our break. Probably we'll take a break in about 8 minutes or so. And then those of you who are intending to go to another workshop can do so. The rest of us will continue. My guess is, and it's a guess right now, not having conferred with George and with the people who choose to stay, but my guess is that where we would go after the break is to the pitfalls, the barriers, all that is in the way of the personal, the professional, and the evolutionary coming together in how we engage. It's a steep gradient. And George and I would like to share what we have learned about approaching the barriers. Here, we had an experienced group that was able to shift from the personal to the professional to perhaps we could say even the nameless. They could make that shift, and we felt the shift in the room. But let's see what we have observed together, and we'll start with this group. So what, as you went from the first round to the second round to the third round, what are your observations about what happened?
There was an observation in me, not only because I will need to do like Marcos and leave the room in a second, that part of my practice felt forward. The more we went deeper, the more I felt my practice is called in and I want to serve with my practice.
Over the three rounds, I felt myself becoming more vulnerable, but by being more vulnerable, also less afraid and more supported.
I noticed there was a common theme and a unitary reality that was beginning to emerge and manifest right before our eyes. There was a longing for healing, for unity, for connection, for helping each other. And it breaks my heart wide open.
It's a feeling of inclusivity, globalness, global values, human values, what I felt at the end, that is truly important for all of us. It was simply a feeling of unity.
Just one word, resonance, in addition to what you said. Yes.
So some of you may need to leave, so we will only take another 2 minutes and then begin a 5-minute break. And now can we hear from the larger circle? What did you notice from your vantage point? Marilyn?
Well, you invited people who were serving organizations into the circle, but through the three questions, they disclosed a whole community of capacity. So they became more than a business person or a business consultant and became a human. And together they became, towards the end, really, I could feel a sense of emotional, if not spiritual, connection amongst them.
Thanks. Others?
This is a kind of observation / assessment, I would guess, but it seems like as you went into the deeper questions, there was a wider moral span that emerged, a greater universal care that was being expressed.
Yeah, thank you. Others?
So I just want to say that before we split for the break, that after the break, we will also have a possibility to explore what would it take to become a transformative community of practice, and specifically for each of you to explore together what do you need to know in order to feel whether such a community would be the right place for you.
Thank you all, and we'll see whoever chooses to come back in 5 minutes from now.